this morning, got here early, and with us being on the new time, I say new time, we have more daylight in the morning. Notice the tree out here on this side, and I took a picture of it, and I texted it to Betty in Texas, hoping I'd make her homesick. But anyway, she acknowledged the beautiful tree, and she wanted to tell everybody hi. Or at least I think that's what the message says. The text cut off right in the middle of it, but I think that's what she was trying to say. So for Sister Betty, hi. Let's stand to our feet. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to start reading verse number 7, just to give you a little bit of a heads up. We're going to look in Daniel, Acts, and Isaiah, along with Matthew. We're going to do to another place in Matthew tonight. We're going to have to do quite a bit of reading tonight. But I want to challenge the church that what I want to share with you, I believe, is what the church needs right now. I know I mentioned this morning about the fruit coming to fullness and the different things that we need. How many understand that we are growing in the Lord? I think we're growing individually in the Lord. We're growing as a body in the Lord. And I believe the Lord wants to prepare His church and children for that harvest, as I mentioned this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. Verse number 7, chapter 6, beginning at verse number 7, and if you'll bear with me, I do want to read several verses. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, one commentator said this is the greatest portion of literature in history. Help me understand that if we can live by Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, we'll be all right. There's a lot in there. Notice verse number 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Someone say amen at the Word of God. Let's agree together in prayer tonight as we look to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. We praise You tonight. Thank You for Your holy, precious, infallible Word. Thank You tonight for the privilege You've afforded me to stand before this congregation of believers and share Your Word, Father. Lord, I pray that You pour encouragement upon each person tonight. Lord, that You minister and move. Lord, that You motivate each of us to draw closer to You. Father, tonight, let us see the need of fasting and prayer. Lord, just be glorified through this message. Open our heart, open our mind, direct us. Lord, let this church body be the body You're pleased in, and use us for Your glory. We praise You for Your hand extended, most of all, for the cross of Calvary and the atoning work that was accomplished there through Jesus Christ and His precious shed blood. We thank You for Your touch, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. I want to go through several verses tonight. So if you can, the best you can, go along with me. Our Lord instructing people on the mount here telling us we need to have the right attitude in giving. Before my text, he talked about giving alms and not doing that to be seen of men, not to pray to be seen of men, not to fast to be seen of men. How many recognize that we're doing this for God? And I will tell you one thing. I enjoy eating way too much to do it to please people. Someone jump on board with me and say amen. But there is a reward in fasting and prayer. And I don't know, it seems like today that fasting is something that has been lost. It's not emphasized that much. It seems like to me, I will say also that I am guilty of that. I've not emphasized fasting as much. It is a discipline, I think, that has been lost in the church, more or less. Can someone say amen? We need to get back to it. And I believe it's critical for our church that as we're going forward, and I mentioned this morning, and as I mentioned it, I felt more and more burdened about it. And this afternoon as I was studying, I looked into the Word of God, and I got some of this together because I want to challenge the church to fast and pray. I believe it is what we need. I believe it will make the difference. Someone say amen. As the pastor of this church, I want to instruct you. I want to teach you. I want to encourage you to fast and pray. And what we've got here in these scriptures, our Lord and Savior was teaching the disciples to fast and to pray. He taught them how to pray. Now, I've defined this in the past in a previous message, and I want to bring it again. Prayer, by definition, could mean different things, but I want to define prayer as practicing the presence of God. I heard someone say that once upon a time. And I think prayer is more than just making a petition. Looked up the word supplication this afternoon. It's an earnest petition. I don't believe God is Santa Claus and we crawl up in His lap and we give Him a list. How many can say amen to that? But our Heavenly Father is saying, I want you to pray. And in prayer, I want you to enter my presence. As our Lord taught us to pray, He began the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. How many believe that worship is a vital part of prayer? And I want to tell you, when God is saying He wants us to pray, He's saying, I want you to crawl up in my lap. I want you to get into my presence. I want you to feast in my presence. Amen. I believe that that's part of prayer, and we can't deny it. If we do without that part, I think if prayer becomes this cold thing, ritual that we go through, that we rehearse, and we pray from memory, we pray from habit. How many are with me tonight? You know, you teach a kid, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, I think that's fine in the very simplest form when we start a child, but a child needs to learn how to talk to God individually, personally. Someone say amen. Amen. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 17. We're just a couple chapters over here. Again, prayer is practicing the presence of God. I believe part of prayer is worship. Fasting is denial of self. Now, that could be food or something else. I know there's been times I have denied myself other things. And how many recognize when we make the will of this old man conform to the will of God, it's not easy. Do y'all fight the old man? Does anybody in here fight the old man? The old man? Who knows what I'm talking about? There we go, Brother Richard. Fighting the flesh. But fasting is a denial of self. And we do that. We push back the plate. We abstain from food or other things, whatever that is. I know some people, if for whatever reason, you can't necessarily go days without eating. Or you can deny yourself in other ways. And I believe that will bring the victory. But here's what I've got here. What brings victory? A lifestyle of God's presence and self-denial. Now, if you'll notice Matthew chapter 17, and I want to add this into the thought of fasting and prayer. When the disciples were unsuccessful, notice beginning at verse number 14, and when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now notice what it says here, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, after this had done privately, and said, why could not we cast him out? Are y'all with me? Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Verse 21, how be it this kind? Say that with me, those two words. This kind. Our Lord bringing attention to the type of deliverance or the obstacle, the specific obstacle that was in this child's life that was quite difficult. A demon possession of some type that I want to say there was a stronghold there, that ordinary just laying on of hands and doing what we do just was not enough. How many can say amen so far with me? And he said, this kind goeth not out but by what? Prayer and fasting. And what our Lord is saying, church, you're going to encounter things. It's going to require a greater level of consecration and discipline and seeking my face and getting in my presence and self-denial to be in the position that you can exercise the authority that I have given unto you freely. But this kind, it requires a kind of walk with God. And the prayer I see here, and the prayer I believe he's saying here, is more than just the words, but it's one that walks in the presence of God. Amen? Now I want to encourage you tonight. Let's find Daniel chapter number 9. Be locating that scripture. I want to encourage you tonight to take advantage of the power that's available to the church. Power here that requires us some self-denial and some entering into the presence of God. Fast and pray, a critical component of deliverance. Now, I've asked you to turn to Daniel, chapter number 9. And I want to give you a couple of examples, one in the old, one in the new, of how fasting and prayer worked in individuals' lives. I love the book of Daniel. I have taught the book of Daniel upon numerous occasions, and it is a book that I have feasted on. Amen. And looking at the man Daniel, I see a wonderful example for us to go by. A man that loved God, he had an excellent spirit, and God used him in a mighty way. But notice Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, and understand Daniel's determination. He said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with what? With fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his covenant. Now notice, jump down to verse number 19. Understand, Daniel was a seeker. He was a seeker. He loved God. And not only that, but he was a student. What we can find leading up to this point, the first couple verses of this chapter tells how that Daniel understood by books the number of years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah chapter 29, and also, if you want these references, I can give them to you later, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, that describes 70 years that Israel would be carried away to Babylon and they would be allowed to return to their own land after the 70 years. And Daniel, right toward the end of that 70-year period of time, understanding that God has a release. God is saying, I will deliver them after 70 years. They will return back to their own land. And Daniel's understanding that, and he's praying, God, reminding you of your word. And if we get into this, Daniel begins to repent. Somebody say repent. Oh my goodness, how many understand we need repentance today? This nation needs to repent. Our leaders need to repent. Somebody say amen. Are you ready? Churches need to repent. Preachers need to repent. Members need to repent. We need to do an about face and go in another direction. We've been going the wrong direction too long. And there was confession. And friend, I want you to know we just need to be honest with God. You know, confession isn't giving God a revelation of how bad we've been. How many understand God already knows us? And how many are thankful? You're ready to shout that He still loves us. Oh, hallelujah. He knows me and He still loves me. I like that. But confession is our acknowledging to God the fact that we faltered, we failed, we've sinned, we've done wrong. And Daniel was confessing, the Bible says, his sin and the sin of his people Israel. And I challenge you to read verses 5 down through 18. I want to jump right to the conclusion of his prayer in verse number 19. And here, I want you to understand that prayer and fasting brings deliverance. It brings the message. It brings a word from God, and we need to have a word from God. Dunville Church of God, you need, I need, we need to hear a word from God. I'm tired of cold, dead, dry sermons. I'm tired of going through the motions. I want you to know we're part of the redeemed. We're part of the blood-bought church. We are alive and well. My God is alive and well. And I think so many times we cheat ourselves and we fall so short of everything the church needs to be. We need to be a haven of salvation that the man, woman, boy or girl that's on the brink of hell, their lives are in ruin, can walk into this church house and find good old time soul salvation and a vibrant relationship with the Lord. And we give them a love and a fellowship. Oh, hallelujah. How many share that vision with me? I'll tell you what, I believe we're on the way. Don't get me wrong, but we're not there yet. And I think fasting and prayer is another piece of that puzzle. Something else we can add to get the fruit to fullness. Are y'all with me tonight? Verse 19, reading the conclusion of his prayer and what happened even before he was done. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Verse 20, and whiles I was speaking, glory to God, and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man who, read this with me, Gabriel. Gabriel is only mentioned in the Bible in Daniel chapter number 8, Daniel chapter number 9, and Luke chapter number 1. He is the one that appeared to Zechariah announcing the birth of John the Baptist. He is the one that appeared to Joseph announcing the Savior of the world to come. This messenger, archangel from God, appeared to Daniel because he was fasting and he was praying. Someone say amen. Whom I had seen at the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me. Hallelujah. How many want to receive a touch from the Holy One? Glory to God. Jesus, if you're not going to touch me yourself, send an angel to touch me. But I want to get touched. Verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, understand the revelation from verses 24 through verse 27 in Daniel chapter 9. We can talk about that at another time. But Daniel, who understood these 70 years, God is now giving him the understanding of 70 weeks of years, even to the point. And hear me, friends, we need to study this. And if you don't know this, get with me and I'll show it to you. If you can't wait before studying it, he pinpointed the very year that the Messiah of the world would be anointed with the Holy Ghost on the River Jordan. Someone say, praise the Lord. Turn to Acts chapter number 13. Hallelujah. Prayer and fasting make a difference. I was visited once by a group of individuals that commonly knock on doors and offer literature. Someone say, praise the Lord. I invited him into my house. And we started talking about the Bible. And I asked them, do they fast and pray? Nope, that went out in the apostles. And I said, then why didn't the early church do the fasting and prayer? They couldn't answer. I just thought I'd throw that in because I get ready to talk about fasting and prayer. How many believe it's for today? Now, Jesus was asked the question, well, why do the disciples of John fast? And why don't yours? And Jesus said, well, while the bridegroom's with them, how can they mourn? But the days are coming that the bridegroom will be taken away, and in those days they shall fast. How many believe we're in those days? Acts 13, and notice verse 2, and we'll read a couple verses here. I told you I was going to read a lot tonight. After we read this, we'll go to Isaiah, and that'll be my final place I'll ask you to turn to. Acts 13 and 2, as they ministered. Somebody say ministered. Look that word up. And it's an interesting word, and I was trying to get the flavor of what it means when they ministered to the Lord. How can you minister to the Lord? What does God need? We think of minister in the terms of service, and it is. But this word had a special meaning, and I wrote the definitions down here. It means to serve the state at one's own cost. Now, there are people that will serve the public and do things at their own expense. And this is what this is saying here. To assume an office which must be administered at one's own expense. To discharge a public office at one's own cost. To render public service to the state. So when it's saying here that they ministered to the Lord, they're saying they've done it because they wanted to. How many just praise God because you want to? You're not looking for any pay. You just love Him. Oh my goodness, y'all, that's the cutest shout I've ever gave you one. I love Him because of who He is. I praise Him and worship Him, Brother Russell, because of who He is. I like who He is. I admire Him. I adore Him. Hallelujah. So many times today we talk about doing things for a reward. Well, if I don't get paid for this, I don't want to do it. Or if I don't get recognized. And you get that a lot today, and when a person's doing service to the community, well, make sure you put my name in lights, or make sure when you give the credits that my name is in the credits. How many believe there's work to be done? And it doesn't matter who gets the credit, let's just make sure the work gets done. Amen? You got too many people wanting a pat on the back, and not enough people rolling up their sleeves. Got a big, long definition here, I'm not going to read that. Notice this, as they ministered to the Lord, they were serving God from their heart. How many catch that? And fasted. What were they doing? They were ministering to God. They were in His presence. They were working for God. And fasted, the Holy Ghost said. It doesn't mention the instrument, the individual that God spoke through here. How many really, really like that? I like that, Brother Russell. He says, the Holy Ghost spoke. You know, it's not somebody prophesied. If y'all can hear me and understand the difference, say amen. Who are we getting credit to? This is God speaking. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being what? Sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Here's the thing. God gave them direction when they fasted and prayed. If you want to know what God wants you to do, I'll tell you what, seek the face of God, enter the presence of God, deny self, and say, Lord, I want to hear from You. I believe the Holy Ghost can speak today the way the Holy Ghost spoke then. I believe we're in the same covenant. I believe the same provision is for the church today as it was for the church in Acts. I believe that. One more place, Isaiah 58. How many are loving the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. I'm feasting on this. Here we go. Prayer and fasting brought knowledge of the will of God. God spoke when they fasted and prayed. Now, Isaiah 58, and I hope you're familiar with this chapter, is the fasting chapter. And I want to point out a couple of things in this. We could have an entire lesson on this chapter. He talks about fasting with the right attitude. He tells you don't want to fast for strife and debate. Have me believe if you fast and pray to kill your neighbor, God will hear it. Come on now. That ain't going to work. Verse 8. I want to get right to the benefits and the results of fasting. He said, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning." Friend, that means that your darkness is going to flee away. "And thy health shall spring forth speedily." Now, God made a promise here. He said here, I'll touch your body. "And thy righteousness," I want y'all to catch this, "and thy righteousness shall do what? Shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Now, in the church I was raised in, the preacher always took that word reward and say, "God will reward you once and reward you again." I'll take that. Have me accept that. Have me accept that. So far, so good. But that does not mean that. A reward, I challenge you to look it up, is a rear guard or the rear flank of an army. And what a reward is those troops that are in the back that have their eyes watching so that the enemy don't sneak up behind you. How many are catching this? I got to thinking, you know, here we are facing forward. And I don't know about you, but when I'm facing something, I'm okay with it. I'm okay looking. But it's that unknown behind me. And how many understand that fear often is us struggling about the unknown? If we know it, we handle it. Can you say amen? But it's the unknown that we're afraid of. Because we don't understand, we don't know. It's that which is lurking behind us, we're not aware of, that we oftentimes fear. Well, I want to tell you, God is saying, you look forward. Your righteousness will go before you, and I'll take care of the back. You know what he's saying here? Can I put this in language that we understand? He says, "I've got you back." How many believe the Lord's got you back? The enemy's not going to sneak up behind you. And I believe, children of God, we don't need to worry about our back. There's no armor of God provided for your back. He's saying, I want you to face forward. I want you to go forward. It's no time to back up. It's no time to turn around. If you put your hands to the plow, the Bible says, and you turn around, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. There's nothing behind me worth turning back to. Remember Lot's wife when she looked back to Sodom and she was turned into a pillar of salt. God's got my back. Now that there's a lot here. How many believe your past behind you is trying to sneak up and catch you? Someone say preach. Your past is trying to sneak up and catch you. Your past is trying to haunt you. I want you to know God forgives us. And I'll even say people will forgive us, but a lot of times we won't even forgive ourselves. We want to go back and relive our past over and over and over and over again. But I want to tell you that my past is past and it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. Behind my back, by Isaiah said. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, thy sins and thy iniquities, God said, I will remember no more. I believe the glory of the Lord is my reward. Are y'all with me? Someone say praise the Lord. Let me keep reading. What amazing promises. I challenge you to stop and say, Lord, help me, lead me into fasting and prayer. Open the scriptures to this and read these promises. Allow it to generate a hunger for more of the things of God. Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. Oh, Jesus, our church needs this today. And he shall say, read this with me, here I am, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger. Somebody point your finger. Speak in vanity. You know what God is saying? Did y'all see that? How many understand that you've only got one mouth and 2 ears, therefore you need to do half the speaking and twice the listening? Someone says, well, I debated on saying it. If you have to think about it, you probably shouldn't say it. Good preaching. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. I want you to notice verse 11, and this is going to be my final verse. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. How many can see the amazing promises that He's saying to that individual, to the church that will fast and pray? In different times, the Lord has stirred my heart about fasting and prayer, and I recognize I need to fast more myself. But friends, I really want to challenge us over the next several days. Let's be aware of the leading of God individually, and as the Lord so moves you, seek His face with fasting and prayer. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just praise Him. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Praise.